Listen to what Our Lady said to St. Faustina on March 25th, 1936. She said, "Speak to the world about his great mercy and prepare it for his second coming. Speak to the world, speak to souls about his great mercy while there is still time." You know, I know we're inclined to think that divine mercy is all about Jesus talking to St. Faustina, but no human has ever received, I think, the daily attention of Mary as St. Faustina did. You know, I mean, she had a special communion with her. Really, she did. And all these wonderful saints. She had other visions. May 1st, 1933, she had a vision of St. Faustina. The Blessed Mother appeared to her and others. And we can talk about those. But I want to welcome to the program a friend who understands both Marian devotion, the power of consecration, and divine mercy. He worked on Eden Hill, home of the National Shrine of Divine Mercy, for a long time. And he is a very gifted author and communicator. He's published, a wonderful book. We'll get you plugged into that as well. And in fact, one of the reasons I invited him to join me today is he wrote a book called 100 Ways John Paul II Changed the World. And I really think this consecration was right up there with it, as well as approving divine mercy and you know, canonizing St. Faustina and a whole litany of other things. But Patrick Nowakowski is an international public speaker, and just great to have him here with us. He's managing partner of Nova Media, too. You can check him out. He actually met St. John Paul II 5 times. He met this future saint 5 times. And you're going to like the story as how he made Pope Francis laugh out loud. Good to have you back, Patrick. Good afternoon.
Drew, always a pleasure to be with you.
It really is. You and I, we share a kindred spirit when it comes to divine mercy, when it comes to John Paul, when it comes to Our Lady. Before we talk about any of these types of things, I want your take on today. I don't know where you were, what you were doing. What is your sense of the spiritual significance of today? And just give me your take on it.
Yeah, I was sitting here in front of my computer reading the text while the Holy Father was praying the text live in Rome in front of those thousands of people in St. Peter's Basilica. Matter of fact, I've got a couple of friends who are actually there within the first, 20 rows, and I'm watching their pictures on Facebook. And it's I went to Mass this morning and praying for this intention and just really struck by the beauty of the prayer that he prayed, his homily, all of it. You know, I could see, I'm reading the prayer and I'm thinking, John Paul II could be praying the same prayer. He could have written this same prayer. And I'm glad you had Ashley on before me. Ashley has been a friend for a very long time. We spent time together in Rome, John and Ashley. I love her insights. You know, this is a profound day, a special day that, takes what John Paul II and the previous popes have done a step further. Sister Lucia said that John Paul II's 1984 consecration satisfied Our Lady's desire for the consecration of Russia. Pope Francis just takes that and moves it forward. And it's so beautiful and so profound and so fitting for the world today. You know, I'm reading his prayer, and this is really what struck me. When he said, "We've grown sick with greed. We only thought of our own nations and their own interests, and we grew indifferent and caught up in our selfish needs and concerns. We stockpiled weapons." You know, I'm reading this and I'm like, yeah, we haven't paid attention. And I love how he says "we." You know, it's our humanity has just gone sick with greed, and speaks really to the culture that we're living in, and then proposes a beautiful solution, this consecration. It's going to confession. It's just, wow. It left me speechless, really.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I've marked my calendar, I believe. You know, we referenced back, of course, to the March 25th consecration, because that was done. It was accepted by heaven. And as we all know, I mean, there's a series of events, and maybe a little later I'll take people through some of the events that happened that brought about the fall of the Iron Curtain and then ultimately the dissolution of the Soviet Union. But that was grace at work. And today I almost feel like there are more Bishops and Cardinals United. I almost feel as if though more people participated because of the global nature and the advancements we have in technology today versus 1984. I don't think, you know, most people even had a, you know, they didn't have a cell phone or a computer, you know, at that point in time. So just think about how many millions of people participated today. And I just know that grace today will flow in just an unbelievable way. So I'm excited about it. I'm looking forward to it. You met John Paul on five different occasions. Let's talk about him for a minute if we can, because, you know, he was the one who initially went ahead and did this first, you know, this first consecration. When he was shot in 81 and he was, you know, recuperating in the Polo Clinico Gemelli, he asked for two things to be brought to his room. One was the diary of St. Faustina. And the other, of course, was the third secret of Fatima. Some people wonder who the Pope of that third secret was. John Paul interpreted it as being him, and I think the Vatican re-echoed that. You look at Pope Francis today with halting step, making his way down that aisle with, you know, you see that sciatica and all. Yeah, the third secret references a Pope like that. Your thoughts on the third secret, but also on John Paul II, his response to all this, and love to hear about your encounters with him.
Yeah, sure. You know, interesting, while he was recovering from the assassination attempt, in June of 1981, he wrote, and I'm not sure I'm getting this right, but an act of consecration. He wrote it. It was, I don't know that it was made public, but then he renewed Pope Pius XII's consecration in May of 1982, and then, as we discussed, in March 25th, 1984, and then once more, October 8th, 2000, he also reconsecrated the entire world to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. You know, it's another interesting thing about John Paul on this day, 1 year after that accepted consecration, 1984, March 25th, 1985, he gave us his great encyclical Evangelium Vitae, which again, you know, it, like a golden thread that goes through John Paul II's teaching is the preeminence of the human person, the importance, the dignity, the inviolable dignity of each and every human being from conception to natural death. That's a thread throughout his pontificate. So having Evangelium Vitae issued on March 25th, so fitting, so fitting.
No doubt about it. So I had the great privilege of meeting the Pope John Paul II, on multiple occasions. You know, I met him outside as he'd come by and shake hands, and I got a couple of pictures of him there. But the most profound experience was when I had a one-on-one. I know you had the same thing. He gave me a pair of rosaries, and I gave him the documentary I did called Time for Mercy, the documentary on Divine Mercy, and a couple of other things. And I just remember when I went to meet the man, and I often make this comparison. I mean, I've met a lot of celebrities, and they don't impress me. You know, they put their pants on just like we do. I've met a lot of congresspeople, senators, politicians. They put their pants on the same way, too. They don't impress me. We're all just human beings. You know? Just because you talk in front of a TV screen or can read lines or, you know, you pass a piece of legislation, when people get enamored with celebrity for some reason. And I don't, to be honest with you. I was awestruck by John Paul II. I don't know what happened to me. I was like a schoolgirl in front of a rock star. It was the weirdest thing that ever happened to me. I went fangirl on John Paul II. When I met him, when I left, what was so weird about it, it's really hard for me to put this in words, but that man exuded holiness. He had one foot in the temporal and one in the next, right? It was so bizarre. I met him. He said some words to me. He blessed me. He gave me rosaries. When I left, I wanted what he had. I wanted that peace, that joy, that relationship with God. I wanted that holiness that he had. And that's what holiness does. I think it, when you see it in another, that desire wells up within you as well. And the man was a living saint. I'll never forget the experience to this day. I mean, I was flying home. I was leaving Rome that day. I didn't care if my airplane went down. I really didn't that day. I was like, wow, you know, heaven exists. This guy's a saint. And, you know, I had gone to confession that day. I was all pumped. But I'd love to hear your experiences. And I'd love to hear how you made Pope Francis laugh.
Yeah, absolutely. So my experience with John Paul II was pretty much the same. I had three private audiences with him, two at Castel Gandolfo, one in the papal apartments, and then two encounters in the square. And the very first, so I worked on Eden Hill, Stockbridge, Massachusetts, for the Marians of the Immaculate Conception. I was a sort of a junior reporter, editor of their magazine, but I won a trip to Cancun, and I traded that in for a trip to Rome.
Wow.
And the Marian said, well, you might as well stay at our house, and how would you like to meet the Pope? And of course, I said yes. And the things coincided to make that happen. And I was also the webmaster of Marian.org. So I printed out these pages about Divine Mercy and then Blessed Faustina and his great encyclical Divas in Misericordia. And so I went to the Mass and I stared at him the whole time. I soaked that in. But the first time I saw him, I came around the Bishop Jevish, led me into the chapel where he was praying in his private chapel in the papal apartments. And I came around the corner and I saw him for the first time with my own eyes. My heart literally jumped in my chest. I have had a couple, maybe two, like profound spiritual experiences in my life.
Right.
This was memorable. And, you know, it often makes me think of, you know, Moses met God face to face and he glowed. He had this glow about him. They said, put a veil on it, man. You know, we can't even look at you. John Paul II was very close to that. I mean, it's like he was so much in God's presence. He disappeared when he was in front of the Blessed Sacrament. I mean, he just yeah, like wasn't there anymore. And when he came back, it's like, whoa, you know, he got something really inexplicable from that time in front of the Blessed Sacrament. So had Mass, and then we went into an adjoining room, and then Bishop Jevish let us out while he was unvested. And he, you know, I'm standing there thinking, I've got this gift for him. I've got to say something. What am I going to say? And I'm kind of nervous. But then he walked in the room, and that anxiety was just gone. It fled. And so I got these pictures of me standing next to him. I had a whole minute. I had 60 seconds to explain to him my work. And it was just as easy as standing next to my dad saying, hey, Dad, look what I did at work today. It was that easy.
That's
it was
awesome.
So comfortable. And then he puts a rosary in my hand and says, thank you, and moves on to the next person. So yes, he had something so special, but it was his prayer. I mean, it really was. I say this in my book. It was kind of the nuclear reactor that powered him to do everything he did in his 26 and a half years as Pope and his dozens and dozens of years as a bishop and his decades as a priest. It was his prayer. It was his commitment to that relationship with Jesus one-on-one, just absorbing
so
it all.
Well, like we have to strive for that same holiness, right? And I believe conversion within our families begins that way. You know, it's not how many words, you know, you and how eloquently you can speak or how much, you know, how many Bible verses you can spout or, you know, what catechism quote you can pull out to defend your position. Conversion is a result of holiness. And if you are living and in a relationship with God, those who aren't will see something different in you and they're going to want it. And you are the gospel that some people, you know, may have to read. It may be the only gospel people will ever read. I got to take a short break, Patrick. Stay with me. When we come back, I'm curious because I don't know this story. You apparently made Pope Francis laugh. I want to hear that story. Of course, Pope Francis going in the history books today, March 25th, the year 2022 of our Lord. He consecrates Russia, Ukraine, and the entire world to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Stay with us. We're about 12 minutes away from the chaplet. Our conversation continues when I return. Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the relevant radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
That is so beautiful. Every time I hear that, I just love that Salve Regina. It's so beautiful. You know, I know a lot of seminarians often sing that at night, you know, together. And whenever I travel on pilgrimage, quite often after Mass, we'll gather together and we'll sing this beautiful song. Good afternoon. I'm Drew Mariani. Good to be with you today. We're going to pray the chaplet coming up in a few moments. And if you're just joining me, today we're celebrating the outpouring of grace that has come to the world through the intercession of our Blessed Mother, through the great invocation and consecration of John Paul II. I'm sorry, Pope Francis. I've got John Paul on my mind. You know why? It's the 38th anniversary when he consecrated the world. And John Paul II, he understood consecration. He understood consecration to Jesus through Mary. He personally consecrated himself before he entered the underground seminary in Krakow, a time of Nazi occupation of Poland during that Second World War. He read the works of St. Louis de Montfort, and he made that consecration. And then after his ordination to the priesthood as a bishop and a cardinal in Poland, he, together with the bishops in Poland, entrusted the people of Poland to our Lord through the hands of Our Lady. You know what would happen, right? You know your history. We know how that spark took place in Poland, brought about this great solidarity movement. We saw that flame of freedom spark. The Holy Father made an act of entrustment in Fatima in 82. Of course, 84, he actually made the consecration. There's a question, though. Why didn't he mention Russia? He understands this intimately, right? John Morales of Morning Air had a great interview this morning. He interviewed a priest by the name of Father Kuzma. And Father Kuzma is a very prominent Ukrainian Catholic priest, lives in Chicago. He shared a fascinating piece of history about John Paul II and the consecration that was indeed accepted by heaven.
You know, we live in a world that is very rational. We like to understand everything. In my estimation, you know, I think the Mother of God is simple. We need to be simple sometimes. Sometimes it's important just to be obedient. Now, we know that the Mother of God said, we know from Sister Lucia, that she said after the consecration of the great Pope in St. John Paul II, that the consecration done in 1984, it has been done, just as Our Lady asked, on 25th March 1984. But at the same time, the person who organized that consecration in 1984, he was a very famous man. I think you know him. I think most of our listeners know him. Father Gabriel Amorth, who was the chief exorcist of Rome, who organized that consecration, he said that the Holy Father, John Paul II, was going to specifically mention and consecrate Russia, the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Let me read what he wrote in a statement he made in 2012. John Paul II in St. Peter's Square. I was a few feet away from him because I was the organizer of the event. He attempted the consecration, but all around him were some politicians who told him, "You can't name Russia, you can't." And he asked them again, "Can I name it?" And they said, "No, no, no," for many reasons, you know, ecumenical and so forth. But, you know, 1917, basically, the apparitions in Fatima. Shortly thereafter, the Mother of God asked through Sister Lucia the consecration of Russia to the Immaculate Heart of Mary, that Russia would be converted, peace would come to the world. It took a long while, and I believe today something very special begins with the consecration specifically mentioning Russia to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. I can't imagine what might begin today. As Jesus was conceived in the womb of the Mother of God, the conception of a new age will begin, I believe.
I love that. I'll re-echo that. I believe something big is looming in the world's future. And you can watch your news today. You mark your calendar, though. Things will change, and they're going to change for the good. I'm joined right now, if you're just dialing into Patrick Nowakowski. He's an award-winning author, a journalist, a longtime friend of mine, a great champion of the faith, and we're just celebrating this great day today. And Patrick, you heard that little bit of history there. I did not know that until today, until I heard that.
I hadn't heard that before either, that Father Amorth had been part of the organizing. I did know, though, that he wanted to consecrate Russia specifically by name, and that for political, ecumenical reasons that he backed off of that. The voices were telling him he shouldn't. But the fact is, Sister Lucia said it was done correctly. And you got to take her at her word, right?
No, I do. You know, and look, these are two great saints, you know, Pope St. John Paul the Great. I love him. There's no question about it. And he must have made a prudent decision when he made it. It doesn't matter.
Five years later, the Iron Curtain fell. So that's right. There you go. I mean, it happened.
Today you have Francis, right? He re-echoes that consecration. So, man, we're getting another dose. You're getting boosted. You know, boosted with grace. Yeah. That's the way I look at it. Hey, I only have a couple minutes left. I want to get people in touch with you, but I also would love to hear your story of making Pope Francis laugh. What a great privilege to be able to meet John Paul II. Tell me about your encounter with Francis.
Yeah, I actually had a couple of encounters with Pope Francis. I was actually in Rome the day that he stepped out onto the loggia for the first time. I was actually one of the closest lay people to him. I was on top of the colonnade with journalists and got to be there when he stepped out. And then a couple of years later, 5 years ago, I was in Rome with the Papal Foundation, and the Papal Foundation, a group of benefactors who bring their wealth together and do great things with the Holy Father for the less fortunate. They asked me to be part of their group. So there were about 100 of us. We're in Clementine Hall, and there were lining up to meet the Holy Father. And you know, I know Francis has been watching him and listening to him, and so people are praising him, and you know, it's my turn. I'm getting up there, and you know, I wanted to do something different. And a couple of days, this is a Friday, so a couple of days earlier, Pope Francis had a photo op with a medal from the Rome Marathon. I'm a marathon runner. I was actually coming to Rome. I was going to run the Rome Marathon. So I knew that he knew what that was. So when it was my turn, I held his hand like I did with my own dad. And I said, Holy Father, on Sunday, I'm running the Rome Marathon. And I waited a second because his English isn't so good. Right. But I could tell he understood me. I just said, please pray for me. Because he always says, pray for us. And I said it like that. And then he laughed out loud. He says, I do. And 2 days later, on it. Sunday, I ran my best marathon of my life. And there you go.
I love it. Patrick, thank you so much for being with me. Good to have you. I have only about 5 seconds left. How do people follow you or get in touch?
Yeah, Facebook and booksbypatrick.com. They can find out all about me.
Check it out there. The Chapel of the Divine Mercy is straight ahead. Let's pray on this special day.